This is the Cambridge Assessment International Education, Cambridge IGCSE, November 2023 examination in English as a Second Language. Paper 3. Listening. Welcome to the exam. In a moment, your teacher is going to give out the question papers. When you get your paper, fill in your name, centre number and candidate number on the front page. Do not talk to anyone during the exam. If you would like the recording to be louder or quieter, tell your teacher now. The recording will not be stopped while you are doing the exam. Teacher, please give out the question papers. And when all the candidates are ready to start the test, please turn the recording back on. Now you are all ready, here is the exam. Exercise 1. You will hear 4 short recordings. Answer each question on the line provided. Write no more than 3 words or a number for each answer. You will hear each recording twice. Question 1. A. What does the man most recommend visiting in the town? B. Which area of the town does the man think it is best to stay in?
How was your weekend? Did you go to that town you told me about?
Yes, it was great. The museum is worth a visit, but I wouldn't miss the castle if you've only got time to do one thing. There's a big market in the town too if you're there on a Saturday.
What about accommodation?
There were 2 areas to choose between. We booked into a small hotel near the station. It was so convenient, though it was quite noisy. So I'd say to go for the other option near the river, as it isn't too far to walk there.
Will you send me the details?
Sure.
How was your weekend? Did you go to that town you told me about?
Yes, it was great. The museum is worth a visit, but I wouldn't miss the castle if you've only got time to do one thing. There's a big market in the town too if you're there on a Saturday.
What about accommodation?
There were 2 areas to choose between. We booked into a small hotel near the station. It was so convenient, though it was quite noisy. So I'd say to go for the other option near the river, as it isn't too far to walk there.
Will you send me the details?
Sure.
Question 2. A. Which product does the woman have a problem with now? B. What does the woman want the company to email her?
Hello, I'm phoning about an order I placed with your company 2 weeks ago. The order number is 743192. I was expecting to receive it last week. The laptop didn't arrive until yesterday, which is fine. This morning, the printer was delivered, though it's the wrong model. Could you look into this, please? Also, when I placed the order, I was told that I would be sent the receipt and the guarantee by email, along with the instructions. I've got the first 2 of these, but not the last. Please, could you send them as soon as possible? Thank you. Hello, I'm phoning about an order I placed with your company 2 weeks ago. The order number is 743192. I was expecting to receive it last week. The laptop didn't arrive until yesterday, which is fine. This morning, the printer was delivered, though it's the wrong model. Could you look into this, please? Also, when I placed the order, I was told that I would be sent the receipt and the guarantee by email, along with the instructions. I've got the first 2 of these, but not the last. Please, could you send them as soon as possible? Thank you.
Question 3. A. What is the man looking for? B. What password do the man and woman agree to use?
Ahmed, there's a pile of post for you here.
Oh, yes. I've already opened some of it. I finally got my new credit card, which I've been waiting for ages. Have you put the electricity bill somewhere? I need that so I can set up an online account with the power company.
Here it is.
Thanks. So, the username for the account will be our email address. What shall we use as a password? We want a single word. Technology? That's relevant. What do you think?
What about energy? That should be easier to remember.
Yes, though it's a bit short.
OK, let's go for your idea then. Ahmed, there's a pile of post for you here.
Oh, yes. I've already opened some of it. I finally got my new credit card, which I've been waiting for ages. Have you put the electricity bill somewhere? I need that so I can set up an online account with the power company.
Here it is.
Thanks. So, the username for the account will be our email address. What shall we use as a password? We want a single word. Technology? That's relevant. What do you think?
What about energy? That should be easier to remember.
Yes, though it's a bit short.
OK, let's go for your idea then.
Question 4. A. What does the man still need volunteers to help with at the race? B. What is in the centre of the race map?
Thanks for volunteering to help at today's race. We couldn't do it without you all. Most of you have already signed up for specific roles. Quite a few of you are giving directions to the runners. Others are handing out water. If anyone's available for checking registrations, come and see me in a minute. Anyway, I've just given you all a map of the race. Have a quick look at it. The starting point is at the top, and the finishing line is in the middle. The first aid tent is below that, which is where we'll go next. Let's walk over there, then I'll give you some more information. Thanks for volunteering to help at today's race. We couldn't do it without you all. Most of you have already signed up for specific roles. Quite a few of you are giving directions to the runners. Others are handing out water. If anyone's available for checking registrations, come and see me in a minute. Anyway, I've just given you all a map of the race. Have a quick look at it. The starting point is at the top, and the finishing line is in the middle. The first aid tent is below that, which is where we'll go next. Let's walk over there, then I'll give you some more information.
That is the end of the 4 short recordings. In a moment, you will hear exercise 2. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Exercise 2. You will hear a head teacher telling students about their new school building. Listen to the talk and complete the details below. Write 1 or 2 words or a number in each gap. You will hear the talk twice.
Hello everyone. I want to start this morning with a brief update on our new school building. As you know, there have been 3 main stages in the building project. Firstly, planning, and we welcomed input from you, parents and teachers. The next step, design, went on for slightly more time than we predicted, but I'm very excited to tell you that the construction phase has now finished, ahead of schedule. So, let me give you some more details. First, we want the whole building to be a really welcoming place, and one that you will all feel proud to come to each day. Above all, though, it is going to be flexible. And what that means is that we can use different spaces for different purposes. For example, we can easily use the hall for meetings, concerts, and even as a learning space. Next, the classrooms. You will notice how light they now are, thanks to larger windows, and also how the sound is much better too. Even when the corridors are full at break times, they should still be quiet with the doors closed. This was important, but not straightforward to achieve. Talking of break times, On the third floor, you'll find Rooftops. That's the cafe where you can buy drinks, snacks or lunch, or bring your own food and meet your friends. The name was inspired by the view, which I think you will all be quite impressed with. I'm sure you will all love the new facilities in the building too, and these are nearly all completed, apart from the art studio, as some of the equipment won't be installed for another month. You won't have to wait to see the new science lab, though. This has more space than our previous one, which I'm sure you'll all agree is a good thing. As the school is located right in the city centre, we wanted the local community to be part of our school too. We received a generous donation from a local businessman, which allowed us to build several music practice rooms. They will be open for students to use after school hours, as will the sports centre, which anyone living in the area will also be able to make use of for a small charge. So the big question you all have is, when are we moving in? Well, the decorators are due to complete their work in November, which means that we can occupy the building at the start of December. That will be for support staff only, though. It won't be until early January that classes will take place there. Before then, we want you all to become as familiar as possible with the new building and find out where everything is. So, we are putting together a display for you to look at, showing where all the rooms are, what they will look like, and so on. We considered having a tour of the building, though not all areas are currently accessible. So, come and take a look next week in the corridor outside the library. OK, has anyone got any questions?
Now you will hear the talk again.
Hello everyone. I want to start this morning with a brief update on our new school building. As you know, there have been three main stages in the building project. Firstly, planning, and we welcomed input from you, parents and teachers. The next step, design, went on for slightly more time than we predicted. But I'm very excited to tell you that the construction phase has now finished ahead of schedule. So, let me give you some more details. First, we want the whole building to be a really welcoming place, and one that you will all feel proud to come to each day. Above all, though, it is going to be flexible, and what that means is that we can use different spaces for different purposes. For example, we can easily use the hall for meetings, concerts, and even as a learning space. Next, the classrooms. You will notice how light they now are, thanks to larger windows, and also how the sound is much better too. Even when the corridors are full at break times, they should still be quiet with the doors closed. This was important, but not straightforward to achieve. Talking of break times, on the third floor you'll find Rooftops. That's the cafe where you can buy drinks, snacks or lunch, or bring your own food and meet your friends. The name was inspired by the view, which I think you will all be quite impressed with. I'm sure you will all love the new facilities in the building too, and these are nearly all completed, apart from the art studio, as some of the equipment won't be installed for another month. You won't have to wait to see the new science lab, though. This has more space than our previous one, which I'm sure you'll all agree is a good thing. As the school is located right in the city centre, we wanted the local community to be part of our school too. We received a generous donation from a local businessman, which allowed us to build several music practice rooms. They will be open for students to use after school hours, as will the sports centre, which anyone living in the area will also be able to make use of for a small charge. So the big question you all have is, when are we moving in? Well, the decorators are due to complete their work in November, which means that we can occupy the building at the start of December. That will be for support staff only, though. It won't be until early January that classes will take place there. Before then, we want you all to become as familiar as possible with the new building and find out where everything is. So, we are putting together a display for you to look at, showing where all the rooms are, what they will look like, and so on. We considered having a tour of the building, though not all areas are currently accessible. So, come and take a look next week in the corridor outside the library. OK, has anyone got any questions?
That is the end of the talk. In a moment, you will hear exercise 3. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Exercise 3. You will hear 6 people talking about clothes. For each of the speakers 1 to 6, choose from the list, A to G, which opinion each speaker expresses. Write the letter in the appropriate box. Use each letter only once. There is one extra letter which you do not need to use. You will hear the recordings twice. Speaker 1.
I've got 3 younger sisters, and when we were growing up, my mum used to spend all her time sewing. Most of the stuff we wore was handmade. It must have saved her lots of money. And even now, it's really convenient if I buy something that I want to shorten or to change the buttons on. Mum will do that for me. That's a good thing, as I can't help stopping by my favourite shop practically every Saturday and rarely leave without a bargain.
Speaker 2.
In my teens, I used to hang out with a group of girls and we all loved clothes. So whenever we went out, we'd be round someone's house beforehand, trying on everything in their wardrobe. We all had masses of stuff. We'd buy things that were really cheap so they'd fall apart in no time. Nowadays, it's great that lots of people donate their unwanted clothes to shops that then sell them for charity. These places are where I'd choose to go now. I found some of my favourite outfits in them.
Speaker 3.
I've discovered some awesome companies that you can get real designer stuff from. They're ideal if you want something that you'll probably only wear the one time. They only charge you for as long as you need it. Then you send it back, and they even clean it, so it's ready for the next customer. I used to love shopping. My friends and I were always in town at the weekend looking for something cool to wear. Now, I don't buy half as much as I used to.
Speaker 4.
There are so many shops on the high street now that sell clothes really cheaply. At weekends, you see people coming out with bags full of clothes. I bet most of them are only worn once before they end up in the back of a cupboard at home. These people could make a fortune by selling what they don't wear anymore. It's so easy to do online. Personally, I'm really into sewing now. You can't beat creating your own outfits by hand. I honestly don't know why it isn't more popular.
Speaker 5.
What I've learned over time is that you get what you pay for. If you buy cheap clothing, you might be able to afford more of it, but it won't last. I go for the opposite approach now and try to look after what I've got. I bought a really nice suit that I wore when I graduated from university. Most of my friends rented theirs, but I've worn mine since then for other events. Actually, I've been asked more than once to lend it to someone, but I always say no.
Speaker 6.
I've got far too many clothes, but that means I can always find something to wear, whatever the occasion. Whenever anyone I know is looking for something particular, I'll have something for them. They return the favour too. Every now and then I consider getting rid of some things. Actually, people make lots of money these days by selling what they don't want anymore. It's better than throwing clothes away. I've bought a few things this way, though sometimes it's hard to tell from photos what condition something's in.
Now you will hear the 6 speakers again. Speaker 1.
I've got 3 younger sisters, and when we were growing up, my mum used to spend all her time sewing. Most of the stuff we wore was handmade. It must have saved her lots of money. And even now, it's really convenient if I buy something that I want to shorten or to change the buttons on. Mum will do that for me. That's a good thing, as I can't help stopping by my favourite shop practically every Saturday and rarely leave without a bargain.
Speaker 2.
In my teens, I used to hang out with a group of girls and we all loved clothes. So whenever we went out, we'd be round someone's house beforehand, trying on everything in their wardrobe. We all had masses of stuff. We'd buy things that were really cheap so they'd fall apart in no time. Nowadays, it's great that lots of people donate their unwanted clothes to shops that then sell them for charity. These places are where I'd choose to go now. I found some of my favourite outfits in them.
Speaker 3.
I've discovered some awesome companies that you can get real designer stuff from. They're ideal if you want something that you'll probably only wear the one time. They only charge you for as long as you need it. Then you send it back, and they even clean it, so it's ready for the next customer. I used to love shopping. My friends and I were always in town at the weekend looking for something cool to wear. Now, I don't buy half as much as I used to.
Speaker 4.
There are so many shops on the high street now that sell clothes really cheaply. At weekends, you see people coming out with bags full of clothes. I bet most of them are only worn once before they end up in the back of a cupboard at home. These people could make a fortune by selling what they don't wear anymore. It's so easy to do online. Personally, I'm really into sewing now. You can't beat creating your own outfits by hand. I honestly don't know why it isn't more popular.
Speaker 5.
What I've learned over time is that you get what you pay for. If you buy cheap clothing, you might be able to afford more of it, but it won't last. I go for the opposite approach now and try to look after what I've got. I bought a really nice suit that I wore when I graduated from university. Most of my friends rented theirs, but I've worn mine since then for other events. Actually, I've been asked more than once to lend it to someone, but I always say no.
Speaker 6.
I've got far too many clothes, but that means I can always find something to wear, whatever the occasion. Whenever anyone I know is looking for something particular, I'll have something for them. They return the favour too. Every now and then I consider getting rid of some things. Actually, people make lots of money these days by selling what they don't want anymore. It's better than throwing clothes away. I've bought a few things this way, though sometimes it's hard to tell from photos what condition something's in.
That is the end of exercise 3. In a moment, you will hear exercise 4. Now look at the questions for this part of the exam. Exercise 4. You will hear an interview with a woman called Lena Edwards, who runs a flower arranging business. Listen to the interview and look at the questions. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the interview twice.
Hello, Lena. Thank you for coming here today.
You're welcome.
So what made you decide to set up a flower arranging business?
Well, I've loved flowers ever since I was little. I used to pick flowers everywhere I went. Then I remember one particular outdoor event in my town several years ago, which had the most amazing flower arrangements all along the road. The person I'd gone there with spotted some flowers that she thought would be perfect for her wedding, and I offered to arrange them for her. Doing that made me realise it could be more than just a hobby.
Did you have to learn much about how to work with flowers?
Well, at that time I was a receptionist in an office and didn't want to give that up immediately as I needed some regular income. I probably could have got a job in a store selling flowers, but then I discovered an evening class at my local college which taught me all the basics. Actually, my cousin did it with me, so we ended up spending all our spare time practicing together.
What skills do you need as a professional flower arranger?
I'd say there are several. Obviously, you need to be artistic, so you can produce something that's appealing to look at. It's also important to know what needs doing and when. If you need a particular colour of rose for an arrangement but have forgotten to order any, that could cause a real problem. There's also the customer service side of the job. Some people can be quite tricky to deal with. That's something that might not occur to everyone when they're thinking about this type of work.
What would you say is most challenging about working with flowers?
Well, clearly they don't stay fresh for long, so you have to work quickly. And carefully too, of course. Flowers are delicate things. What you really need to think about, though, is how to present them. If you choose the wrong container, that's too big, for example, they won't stand upright, or the display just looks messy. That's something that takes most people a while to get used to.
Right. What's your favourite flower, Lena?
Oh, you wouldn't believe how often I get asked that, but I don't mind. To be honest, I love all of them, and each is special for a different reason. I used to try to come up with a response, but quickly realised that it depended on the occasion, or the time of year, or what I was working on, and I'd quickly change my mind.
How environmentally friendly would you say your business is?
Well, in some ways it is, and in other ways not. The main issue is our carbon footprint, as we rely heavily on imported flowers from other countries. It's hard to avoid that, though we've started to use an electric car to deliver locally, instead of the old van I had before. I'm also looking into an alternative to the plastic wrapping that we use lots of. That would be a step in the right direction.
That's good to hear. So, what sort of projects have you done recently?
Actually, I've had an interesting year. Probably the highlight was doing flower arrangements for a cruise company. To celebrate a special occasion, they had flowers everywhere on board, and it looked amazing when we'd finished. Also, in the summer, I was asked to award prizes in a regional flower show, which was fun. That was on television too.
And finally, what plans do you have for the future?
One thing I'm working on is a beginner's guide to flower arranging. I'm aiming to have that published very soon. It'll have beautiful pictures in it. You can see some of them online, as I've been keeping a blog for a while. But I've got so many orders coming in now that I've realised I need a second pair of hands. So before anything else, I'm taking on a student to do some work experience with me. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you, Lena.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Hello, Lena. Thank you for coming here today.
You're welcome.
So what made you decide to set up a flower arranging business?
Well, I've loved flowers ever since I was little. I used to pick flowers everywhere I went. Then I remember one particular outdoor event in my town several years ago which had the most amazing flower arrangements all along the road. The person I'd gone there with spotted some flowers that she thought would be perfect for her wedding, and I offered to arrange them for her. Doing that made me realise it could be more than just a hobby.
Did you have to learn much about how to work with flowers?
Well, at that time I was a receptionist in an office and didn't want to give that up immediately as I needed some regular income. I probably could have got a job in a store selling flowers, but then I discovered an evening class at my local college which taught me all the basics. Actually, my cousin did it with me, so we ended up spending all our spare time practicing together.
What skills do you need as a professional flower arranger?
I'd say there are several. Obviously, you need to be artistic, so you can produce something that's appealing to look at. It's also important to know what needs doing and when. If you need a particular colour of rose for an arrangement but have forgotten to order any, that could cause a real problem. There's also the customer service side of the job. Some people can be quite tricky to deal with. That's something that might not occur to everyone when they're thinking about this type of work.
What would you say is most challenging about working with flowers?
Well, clearly they don't stay fresh for long, so you have to work quickly. And carefully too, of course. Flowers are delicate things. What you really need to think about though is how to present them. If you choose the wrong container, that's too big, for example, they won't stand upright or the display just looks messy. That's something that takes most people a while to get used to.
Right. What's your favourite flower, Lena?
Oh, you wouldn't believe how often I get asked that, but I don't mind. To be honest, I love all of them, and each is special for a different reason. I used to try to come up with a response, but quickly realised that it depended on the occasion, or the time of year, or what I was working on, and I'd quickly change my mind.
How environmentally friendly would you say your business is?
Well, in some ways it is, and in other ways not. The main issue is our carbon footprint, as we rely heavily on imported flowers from other countries. It's hard to avoid that, though we've started to use an electric car to deliver locally, instead of the old van I had before. I'm also looking into an alternative to the plastic wrapping that we use lots of. That would be a step in the right direction.
That's good to hear. So, what sort of projects have you done recently?
Actually, I've had an interesting year. Probably the highlight was doing flower arrangements for a cruise company to celebrate a special occasion. They had flowers everywhere on board, and it looked amazing when we'd finished. Also, in the summer, I was asked to award prizes in a regional flower show, which was fun. That was on television too.
And finally, what plans do you have for the future?
One thing I'm working on is a beginner's guide to flower arranging. I'm aiming to have that published very soon. It'll have beautiful pictures in it. You can see some of them online, as I've been keeping a blog for a while. But I've got so many orders coming in now that I've realised I need a second pair of hands. So before anything else, I'm taking on a student to do some work experience with me. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you, Lena.
That is the end of the interview and of the exam. In a moment, your teacher will collect your papers. Please check that you have written your name, centre number and candidate number on the front of your question paper. Remember, you must not talk until all the papers have been collected. Teacher, please collect all the papers.